So we're going to continue our series on Who's Asking. Today's part three. And one of the things that I've been observing over the last few months, for me personally, it's probably been over a year, it's a number of things. But this thing that I've been observing personally and then in the body of Christ, and then with the prophetic words that we got at family camp, which was great, and as you heard, we're going to pray into those things. Over the next couple of months. It got me thinking, and then having the opportunity to listen to people's stories over the last few months as well, it got me thinking about this one area that I believe is important for us of where we're going personally, as a family, and as the bridge. And it's a word that I know that a lot of us don't like, but I'm going to preach on it anyways. And it's, what I want to speak on this morning is keep on keeping on. The art of perseverance. How many of us love that word? Oh, we all love that word. That's great. Okay. I don't like that word. If you have your Bibles or your iPads or any kind of technology, whatever you use to read the Bible, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Starting at verse 11. And when you're there, if you're new here, what we like to say when we reach the verse is, for sure. For sure. That's just my version, Kevin Johnson version here, when we reach there. Are you there? For sure. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. And see, perseverance is concerned with really one thing, and that is how to live joyfully with Christ above all your circumstances. That's what perseverance is all about. Choosing to have joy in the midst of our circumstances. And have you ever noticed that when God is teaching you about perseverance, it's never this short period of time? It's like when God's teaching you on authority, all of us get pumped up and we're like, yes, I take authority over that. And it's, you know, but then when it comes to patience, when it comes to perseverance, yeah, it's not as easy. And I believe the reason why he stretches it out is only because there's more that he wants to push into us. You get what I'm saying? If he's stretching you out, then it only makes sense that he wants to push some more stuff in you, which is, of course, more of his nature. Are you still with me? For sure. Thank you. Oh, but look at you. Susan, out of all people. And so guess what? We all have stretch marks. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got stretch marks. Turn to your other neighbor and say, if you only knew. And you see, perseverance is supposed to be a place of delight and desire where we experience God's presence. It's not supposed to be this thing that beats us over the head. We're actually supposed to be delighted when we're persevering through whatever it is that we're going through. Because the intention of perseverance is always to teach us about who God is and who God is in us. Amen. And so the thing with us is that we always want to skip the process and head right into our promise. We always want to skip the process and get right to the promise. But how many of us know that God does not work like that? We have to go through the process. And it's actually a pattern and a principle that God shows us in His Word. You see, God takes us out of something, then takes us through something, and then He takes us into something. Example, children of Israel, He took them out of Egypt, through the wilderness, and into the promised land. Jesus was on this earth for 30 years, no miracles, no healings, nothing happened. And then God takes him out of that, takes him through the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights with the devil. And after all that is over, He takes them into the birthing of His earthly ministry. Remember, before He takes us in, He has to take us through. And if one thing I love about my kids is that they're kids, and you do kids' stories with them, and you sing the songs, and sometimes what I like to do is, or just the way my mind works, if I hear a song or a story, my mind just goes to something scriptural or biblical, or just something, you know, I know God wants to say something. And so how many of us know the book, We're Going on a Bear Hunt? Oh my goodness, you deprived people. So here's this book of this family, and they decide one day, we're going on a bear hunt. And at the end of it, they see the bear in a cave, and they got so scared that they ran back. But what I want to focus on is how it starts. So it says, we're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. I'm not scared. What a beautiful day. How many of us can say, what a beautiful day today? Until, oh no! It's grass, long, wavy grass. You can't go over it. You can't go under it. Oh no, we've got to go through it. And whatever it is, the circumstance that you're going through, guess what? You can't go under it. You can't go over it. You can't even go around it. You got to go through it. In between the process and the promise, there is persevering that needs to happen. And I like to call perseverance the when. When? When is this going to be over? When are my kids going to actually start to listen to me? You're not supposed to laugh on that one. When am I going to get that job that I really want? I finished university and there's no jobs out there for me, God. When is this going to happen for me? When is this promise going to be fulfilled? It's in that process of perseverance. That when. But your when actually is all about your will. Your when is actually all about your will. And see, the starting point to your when lies in your will. And you see, the one thing that we have to learn is that our spirit man must rule over our soul by the act of our will. You with me? How many of us know that we're spirit beings? And actually, one of the things this whole thing about perseverance is, I thought, why are so many Christians struggling? Why does it seem like so many Christians want to give up on something? And they're not willing to persevere, to stick with it to the end, till it's finished. And I heard the Lord say to me, it's because my people rely on their natural abilities instead of living a life in the Spirit. And that's how I got on this journey. And so once we've learned this spiritual discipline, everything in our lives start to change. This is actually how we live a supernatural life. How many of us want to live a supernatural life? And so when we grab a hold of this truth, this will affect the way we think, talk, walk. It affects the way we stand. It'll affect our expectations. It'll affect our hope. It'll affect our confidence because we're learning to live from the inside out. We're learning to live from the inside out, not from the outside in. And so our will is what God uses to govern our mind and our emotions. So in order to live consistently in the Spirit, our will must be handed over to God. And that's what we don't like to do. Right? How many of us like to actually, here's my will, O Lord. It is thine. No, right? We like to hold on to our will. But our will must die in order for God's will to rule and reign in our lives. You with me? You guys are quiet this morning. Okay. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Your will is designed to lead, and your emotions were designed to follow. Okay, amen. Because I know that's truth. And you see, God gave us a will so that we would never be at the mercy of our emotions. Right? And God uses our will to break through into our minds, and where our minds are renewed, which then leads our emotions to follow our faith. It's really that simple. Thank you, Dom. Remember, I told you have to do a lot of amening because the rest of the team is not here. Okay. So, church, don't let your emotions run the show. Don't let your emotions run the show. Yeah, you feel like giving up. You feel like quitting. But guess what? So many times there is a man named Jesus who could have quit. He could have quit when his disciples showed how thick-headed and self-centered they were when it came to understanding his teachings. He could have quit when, as John 10:20 says, many people said, "This Jesus is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" Jesus could have quit when they hurled insults at him, shaking their heads, as in Mark 15:29. He could have quit when all the men he had taught for 3 years fled the night of his arrest. He could have quit when he was beaten and spat on and ridiculed and put through all those mock trials. He could have quit when he was whipped within an inch of his life, or when the first nail was driven into his hand, or when the cross was raised and dropped into that hole in the ground, tearing at the wounds in his hand and feet. But he didn't quit. Did he? Why? Why did Jesus persevere through all that? Because he loves us. And 1 Corinthians 13 says that love endures all things. Love perseveres through all things. That's why. Thank you. James 1:4 says, "Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. This is what Paul is talking about in Romans 5:4 when he says, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And Peter talks about this principle repeatedly throughout 1 Peter. Perseverance must finish its work. Maybe the reason why we're still in the place that we are is that perseverance has not finished its work yet. Because the reason for the perseverance, according to James, it says that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's why we have to go through it. Can't go under it. However, one of the things I've been observing is that for whatever reason, we as the body of Christ have grown not weary, but lazy. I love talking about my kids. And that's okay. They know I talk about them all the time up here. So that's fine. But one of the things when you have kids is when it comes time to doing chores, or when you ask them to do something, I won't say which child does this, but some of the girls, you give them something to do, like, Zara, Olivia, make your bed. And it's like, I don't know how to. Like, I don't know how to do this. It's like so hard. And this is what I tell them. I said, don't say you don't know how to do something because you don't want to do it. Is that what I just said? I got it right, right? Yeah. Don't act like you don't know how to do it. Sorry. It's just because you don't want to do it. Can I say that that's kind of like us sometimes? I don't know how to fight. I don't know how to persevere. I don't know how to keep on keeping on. I don't know how to do this. But 2 Peter 1:3 says this, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things I noticed about the word perseverance in that scripture is that it's actually midway. Read it for yourself. Strategically put right in the middle. And so if our circumstances are happening to us, if something is happening to me, then maybe God is after something in me. Maybe he's after something. If I'm struggling with patience, maybe he's wanting to teach me about patience. If I have an anger problem, maybe he's trying to teach me about my anger. Because God doesn't just let things happen to you for the sake of happening to you. There's always a reason. So the most important thing to understand about persevering is that it's less to do with your actions and more to do with your vision. In other words, your perspective while persevering will determine your progress. Your perspective while persevering will determine your progress. You see, our perspective is one of those interesting things that happen in life because it's all based on what lens you're using. Are you with me? It's interesting that our perspective can easily shift depending on what life is throwing at us. It's okay, I'm going somewhere. One moment you can see possibilities, the next moment you see pain. One moment you see triumph, the next moment you see trouble. One moment you're holy, the next moment you feel hopeless. Am I talking to anybody this morning? You see, it's all about how we see a situation. It's all about your perspective while you're persevering. It's like if I take this phone, and maybe not everybody can see it, but if I go to this wall here, because of my perspective, all I can see is a wall. But if I start to take some steps back and start to change my angle, then I start to see a whole other perspective. You see, the thing is that we're in the same room, but there's two different perspectives. But here's the thing is that the problem for some of us is that we're stuck in our spiritual selfie mode. And we need to flip the lens because the picture is actually bigger than you think. The opportunities are bigger than you think. But you need to change your perspective so that you can see the bigger things. Amen. But it doesn't look like I'm making progress, Kevin. It doesn't look like I'm making progress. Listen, even if it doesn't look like you're making progress, you still need to walk it out, even if it's not working. I'm reminded by when Joshua had at the wall of Jericho. Interesting thing too, if you really look at that passage, is that Joshua was the only one that knew that there were the march around seven times. The people didn't know. It was never told to them. And so imagine walking around every day for 6 days and not knowing what the end result was going to be. When is this going to be finished? Why do we have to keep walking around? When is this going to be over? At least give me a brick or something to fall just to show me that you're at work, God. It's okay. I'm not talking to anybody here, but that's fine. But you understand what I'm saying. So I want to give you three keys to perseverance. The number one is joy. It's joy. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. But for some reason, we're people that are like, I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when I get a job that I like. I'll be happy when my kids start listening to me. I'll be happy when my husband pays attention to me. I'll be happy when. But how many of us know that that has nothing to do with joy? See, joy is meant to overwhelm every negative emotion. That's why Psalm 30 verse 5 says, sorrow and sighing may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That does not mean that joy will come tomorrow morning. But at the end of it all, you will have joy. Listen, I used to think that. I'm like, oh, well, joy's coming in the morning. And then joy didn't show up. It's okay. It's just me. See, when joy is present, no negative emotion can flourish. And joy keeps all experience in God fresh. Lamentations 3:21 says, new every morning is God's goodness and compassion. You got to love God. And so joy is always on the menu. I love this one. Joy is always on the menu when you live a life in the Spirit. It's always on the menu. Never comes off. It's not a promo. It's always there. And so it is His plan for us to be joyful on a constant basis. These things I have spoken to you that your joy may be full. How many of us want that joy that is full? Well, guess what? It's available. It's available. Joy is about elation. It's about having a sense of wonder. It's taking absolute pleasure in someone or something. It's being jubilant. It's being cheerful, triumphant, and celebratory. So when we are practicing joy, we are actually learning the art of celebration. What are we celebrating, you're asking? That God is for me, that God is with me, that He is on my side, that He is in me, that He surrounds me, that everything about Him is for me, and He will help me. I am rejoicing in the fact that I know what God is like. It's practicing being celebratory in the midst of the process. Second one is rest. Rest. How many of us know that rest is a weapon? Rest is a weapon. And it's actually one of the things that I just love to do. I'm a hands-off kind of guy. It's like, hey, you said that this battle is yours? Hey, great. Guess what? Then I'm resting in that. And all resting is this. So Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's seated in heavenly places. And so if I'm a joint heir with His Son, then guess what? I'm seated too with Him. I'm just going to chill. And it's not in an arrogant way, but it's because I know who God is. And so Matthew 11:28-30 says, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, every single situation or circumstance we have, there is a rest made available in the issue. There is a rest available. No matter what it is, all hell could be breaking loose in your life. But there's a rest for you if you just enter it. See, we need to have a rest to take up residence in our life. It needs to become a practice in our life. Listen, you all know that I love Frozen and the song Let It Go. Josiah, you don't like that one? Okay. But it is really about us letting go and letting God do what He wants to do. Because you see, this is what it's really all about. Our responsibility is just about obedience. He takes care of the outcome. Should I say that again? Our job is just obedience. He takes care of the outcome. My job is to be obedient and preach the word that I think they is for our church this morning. The outcome, that's up to him. It's not up to me. Even though I like when you say, shout at me and be engaged, but it's not dependent on that at all. And so that means that anything that wants to enter through our heart and mind must enter through the gates of peace and rest. Psalm 62, 1 and 2 says, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will never be shaken. See, our faith grows when we position ourselves in a place of rest. That's when our faith grows. It's in a place of rest. But how many of us know that there are times of struggle? There are times of opposition. There are times when the winds are against you. Which brings me to the third one, which I think is very vital for us where we're going, is our stance, which has everything to do with our identity. And if you've been in this church long enough, you know that we're really big on identity, knowing who you are in Christ. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. It's all about our stance. It's all about our stance. And you see, and I think, you know, with this whole big fight that is happening next month, it's okay, none of us walked boxing, that's fine. But this big fight that's happening next month got me thinking about the stance. How's my stance doing? Because here's one thing about our stance. Is when the enemy comes, he's coming to take out your legs. Because if he can take out your legs, he knows that there's no way for you to walk anymore. There's no way for you to run this race anymore. So what the enemy tries to do is he tries to come at you with these circumstances and situations to try to throw you off course, to take out your legs. So then you say, I quit, I give up, I don't want any part of this anymore. So how's your stance? How's your stance? We need to understand that our stance is actually built on Jesus. He's my stance. He's my rock. He's my firm foundation. When the winds come at me, it's on him. It's on that solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking. Sand. That's a stance that I fight for. That's my stance. Which brought me to another song that I know, another children's story that I know, called The Three Little Pigs. And I know we all know it and we can all laugh about it, but there is so much truth in it. Because the first pig, he built his house out of straw. And the wolf comes and I'll huff and I'll puff and I'm gonna blow your house down. And he does. And then the second brother comes and he built his house out of wood. And the wolf comes and he says, I'm gonna huff, I'm gonna puff, and I'm gonna blow blow your house down. I'm going to blow your house down. And he does. But thank God we have a third brother that is wise, and he builds himself a house out of brick. And how many of us know that if we build our house out of brick, that when the winds come, when situations happen, when we're diagnosed with something called leukemia, then guess what? I have a firm foundation. I have a firm foundation. I have a rock that is higher than I. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all, done all, to stand firm. Love that. But can I tell you something? Maybe for some of us this morning, you're fighting the wrong thing because you're looking in the wrong direction. Can I have a married couple up here? Or else I'm going to choose. I just need a married couple. Yeah, just come up here. All right. Come on this side. You guys are going to face each other, hold hands. And so how many of us remember this moment? And it's
almost 4 years ago.
The pastor comes and he says, "Dearly beloved, we have gathered here together to join this man and this woman in holy matrimony." But how many of us know that there's a tension? Because how many of us know when you've been married 4+ years? Almost. Next month. That there's a tension because you can go from this to this. Come on, Sherry, you got to put your dukes up. How many of us know that it's a small area of going from this to this? And you see, that's where the tension is. See, the tension is, how do we stay in that place? How do we stay in that place? Because you see, when you're married and the fight start to happen, it's like, I wish you would just talk to me. And all the women say, mm-hmm. Okay. And then, and then as a husband, it's like, well, I wish you would just listen to me. I wish you would just listen to me.
Yeah, what he said, man.
Then she's like, I wish you would just be home. I wish you would just be home. Right? And then what he does is, I wish you would just stop spending money. And now, they have their beautiful baby girl, and we know there will be more on the way. So they have kids, a kid. But when you start to have kids, then it's like, man, I wish, why are you laughing already for it?
Yes.
It's like, I wish you would just come and help me with these crazy kids, right? And then what he says is like, well, I wish these crazy kids weren't just like their mama, you know? But here's the thing, is that there's tension. There's tension. And the tension is how do we stay in this place? And the thing is that it's not like fighting is wrong, but it's about your perspective, right? Because if they join now instead of fighting this way, and they start to fight this way, then guess what? They can now start to fight for their future. They can fight for their finances. They can fight for their kids. Why? Because you're fighting the wrong thing, because you're looking the wrong direction. Yikes. I'm almost done. 2 Chronicles 20:17 says, "And you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. See the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." It's interesting because God says, listen, the battle's not yours, it's mine. But isn't it interesting, even though he tells them that, he still tells them to take your position. Stand firm. Why in the world would he say that? It's because we're actually fighting to stay in our position. It's not about fighting for something, because God's handled that already. But now, it's about the position. Am I going to stay here, or am I going to allow myself to get knocked out by winds, circumstances, hardship? Am I going to allow myself to do that, or am I going to allow myself, you know, when you're a little, I don't know if you guys, if anybody had it here, but when I was small, you had this big blow-up thing, and then you just punch it, and it bounce back up. Some of us need to learn how to bounce back up. We need to learn how to bounce back up. And I'll end with this. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith," or the author and the finisher of our faith. "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners." Why? "So that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Number one, for the joy set before him. Keep your joy. Number two, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Rest. "So that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Keep fighting. Keep keeping on. I want to end with this. And I didn't know if God wanted me to share it, but I'm going to share it. So this week I had an opportunity, some of you on Instagram might have seen, I had an opportunity to go to Weber's Grill Academy. It was a wonderful Christmas gift that I got. And if anybody knows, yes. Grill, 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 smoke, smoke, smoke. What? Pete's Cobbler. Oh, my goodness. So I had this opportunity. Long story short, it was time to, we were doing a brisket. That was the main one. And so the grill chef, or grill master, sorry, they're not chefs, grill master, he goes on to explain the ingredients, how to prepare it, how much thickness of fat to have it, how to prepare it. And he goes through the whole thing of explaining the brisket to us, how to prepare it. 16 hours, low heat, 4 hours rest. And then somebody asks this question, which leads to this. They go, no, actually, the grill master says, "But just to let you know, that even though I've taught you all these things, even though you follow these things by the T, in other words, if I set up 3 smokers, I gave you the exact same brisket, the exact same cut by 3 different people, and you put the brisket in the smoker, and you smoke it for 16 hours, you let it rest for 4, there's no guarantee that your brisket is going to come out well. And I said, what? And somebody said, well, why would that be? He said, because it all depends on the cow. You're laughing. It depends on the cow. And he said, what do you mean by that? He said, because the cow doesn't have a shoulder blade. And so all that brisket is shoulder. And so it really all depends on how much of the struggle the cow went through that determines how good your brisket is going to be. I don't think you're hearing me. So I asked, well, what does this mean? He said, it all depends on how we react in the struggle. It all depends how we react in the struggle that will determine our progress. It's all how we react. It's all about our perception in the struggle.